the volume.
The Sessions is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. They're America's number one sportsbook for a reason, y'all. It's so easy to use. It's safe and secure. That's one of the main things for me. I don't want any BS. I love that there's no BS with FanDuel. Plus, you get your winnings fast. Now, winnings are delivered in as quick as 2 hours. Plus, it's super fun to combine multiple bets from the same game into a same game parlay. It's awesome. So if you are new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with the promo code Renee, that's R-E-N-E-E, so that they know that I sent you. Disclaimer, 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, Wyoming, or West Virginia. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Or text next step to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777, or visit ccpg.org/chat for Connecticut, 1-800-GAMBLER, or visit fanduel.com/RG for Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Virginia, 1-877-770-STOP for Louisiana, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan, 1-877-8-HOPE-NY, or text HOPE-NY for New York. Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789. And 1-800-522-4700 for Wyoming. Visit www.1800gambler.net for West Virginia. Here we go. 1-2-1-2. This thing on? Yay! Welcome to the Sessions. Renee Paquette, joined by the one, the only Emilio Sparks, Emilio Madunio. How are you, sweet man?
Wow, you're using the government.
I went for the government name.
And you said it right as well. I used to have such an anger for people that would mess it up. It was so bad.
You know what? I kind of get like that with my last name sometimes too. And I get it. You see Paquette. I don't know. Is it that confusing? I don't know. But people really want to call like Paquette.
Paquette.
It gets butchered. So I will say I have like legit like anxiety sometimes. Like, well, I guess not really anymore. Because if I book something like actual, if I'm like in a hotel or a car or a flight or something like that, that's always under good. That's my actual, that's like my legal name. But that was one thing with John and I got married. I was like, oh my God, what a relief. I don't have to spell out Paquette. But if I'm on the phone with someone, like, cause my email, I guess I should, whatever. My email has my last name in it, or does it? Maybe it doesn't. It doesn't. Anyways, I got to spell that shit out all the time and it kills me. Also just like typing in, like if I'm like in a hotel and I have to sign into the Netflix and I type in my email address, I get rage. I get so mad typing out Paquette.
The first time I actually heard your real last name was because of the interview that you did with Kevin Owens on the WWE Network show you used to do.
On Talking Smack?
No, not on Talking Smack. It was that other thing. What was that other show you used to do?
Oh, Unfiltered.
Unfiltered. Yeah. Well, you used to do like the little gif of you like pointing with the squealy thing.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. Yes.
Because he was talking about, well, I first learned of Rene Paquette on The Score, and I was like, so...
And he would have really hit it with that French-Canadian accent.
And he did, and I was like, oh, so that's how you say it.
Yeah, he says it better than I... Him and Rami, they both say it much nicer than I say it.
And that's how I learned about your name. I was like, ah, so that's how you say it. And with the proper enunciation. I didn't know about the little squiggly gimmick on top. I don't even know what that name is.
The accent aigu. There's the accent aigu and the accent grave, which goes the other way.
What's the grave? Is the grave for the guy and the goose for the girl?
No, that gives it the A sound, Renee. Because if it was not for that, it would be Rennie. So the accent aigu gives it the A. I think. I don't know. I'm talking out my ass.
Look at us giving you guys a linguistics lesson on the Sessions.
We are cunning linguists over here.
There's a rapper by the name of Cunning Linguist. He's very good.
Yeah, of course he is. The Cunning Linguist. Here's what I want to know. How great do we sound right now? Have we fixed the audio? I feel like it's funny. My brother, he does not listen to the show. He's not a fan. But he did listen to the episode when we had on Max from...
The Arkells.
The Arkells. Fuck, thanks. But anyways, he listened to that episode because they're a Toronto band. My brother works with a bunch of Toronto bands. And Max asked me what my brother did. And I was like, I don't actually know what the title is. Anyways, my brother gave me so much shit. Why was I telling this story?
I don't know.
for my audio. That's right. So my brother works in audio. Yeah. And he was like, you sound terrible. I was like, you're just mad because I didn't know what your like job description was. So he was talking a little shit saying that the audio was not great in the podcast. So Eric Paquette, suck a big one, brother.
I think you sound good. Everybody says you sound good. The head of audio, Adam Garcia, says you sound good. So we're all right.
Booyakasha, but we sound better now because now we're set up. We're crispy. I've got this Focusrite Scarlett 212 in front of me. Azalea Banks 212.
I worked with her once. She's cool. She's cool.
Is she cool? Because she seems like she might not be that cool.
Well, I was an ambassador for Nike, and we had to do this like borough thing where we were each with the ambassador for this Air Force One because it was like that's like the 20th anniversary for the shoe. I think she had Harlem or Brooklyn. I forget which one it was. I was Staten Island, obviously. So
obviously, and the king of Staten Island is going to have a ferry named after him. Everybody,
it's going to happen. I should run for borough president. But she was really cool with me. She was real nice. She was down to earth. Now that was several years before the real fame happened. So I don't know what. When you're internet famous and when all the hip hop blogs were kings and queens of the music industry, everybody's everybody's friend. I don't know. She probably wouldn't remember me if I introduced myself to an actor. She'd be like, who the fuck are you? But I'd be like, hey, we did this thing together. Remember? Nike versus the world, you know, Staten Island versus everybody.
It's funny how that happens though, hey? Like how celebrities go from like being, you know, nice, humbled, getting their foot in the door, appreciating all opportunities, even just like celebrity news stuff. Like, here's what I'll say. It kind of blew my mind when I saw that Drew Barrymore was being like dragged for even mentioning the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial. I understand that it's a sensitive subject. I don't think anyone was making light of any kind of abuse, spousal abuse, anything like that, because that's obviously horrible. But she didn't say that. She just said like, oh my God, I can't believe this is out there. And I'm like eating this up, like watching this, like everybody is. No one's saying it's funny or like, ha ha, this thing happened to you. It's just like, wow, these stories are nuts. Like these stories between Johnny Depp and Amber Heard are mind blowing.
The fact that they're talking about like dog shit and human shit.
I know. Could you imagine being so mad at somebody? You go, you know what? I kind of have an inkling of having to take a crap. You know what I'm going to do with this? I'm going to go on your side of the bed. I'm going to roll down the duvet cover and I'm going to drop a deuce right next to your pillow.
Hypothetical situations, right? The goods are having an argument about something. Maybe John did something to piss you off because in the last couple of weeks, specifically the Michelle Beadle episode, you can go back and you can listen. You guys were talking about relationships. You were talking about our mom and dad. And you were like, sometimes John gets you so angry that you play dirty. How dirty are you going to play when the knives come out? Are you dropping a deuce and then blaming Benny or Blue?
First of all, that would just never fly. Maybe it would. Benny is very small. And Blue has a very distinct shit. That's like a very funny, like dog owner thing. You're like, oh, I could pick my dog shit out of a fucking lineup. No problem. I know my dog shit any day. Oh my God. No, no, no. Like, I don't think I said that I play dirty. I definitely don't get dirty. But I mean, we have arguments and there can be like some pettiness for sure.
Right, when the knives come out, were you going to say some shit?
I mean, shit, we've been together almost a decade. Like, we'll definitely, like, we'll get at it sometimes. Knock on wood, we're pretty lucky that when that does happen, it blows over pretty quick. Or, like, we're both just kind of like, okay, that was stupid, whatever. And, like, we're over it in, like, 2 seconds.
So you're not going to blame the chicken for your grown woman poop on his side of the bed?
I mean, arrest me now if that was ever going to be the case. Let's, like, lock me up, put me away. That's nuts. To be that mad at someone, it's not even like it's two things. It's being so pissed at somebody that you're like, I want it. This person deserves to see my shit. I'm so mad at them. To them being on the other side of like having like the wherewithal to poop, not in a toilet. I don't think my body would allow this. I don't think my body would let me do it. I'd have to focus so hard to like let that just go.
So the excretion of Renee's bodily waste can only come if it's in a traditional toilet.
I am a traditionalist and I am a purist when it comes to relieving my body. Anyways, I think the conclusion here is that Amber Heard seems not great.
Doesn't seem like the nicest person.
It's not a great situation. Football fans, check out the Three and Out podcast with John Middlecoff, only on the Volume Podcast Network. John brings his unique perspective as an ex-NFL scout to The Volume to break down all the news around the NFL and college football. Whether you're looking for game predictions, coaching searches, the ins and outs of the NFL front office, even an occasional golf tip, John has you covered. Download Three and Out with John Middlecoff, only on the Volume Podcast Network.
Before we get into some wrestling stuff, how caught up? Oh, you're not caught up at all on This Is Us.
Once I am. On the sessions, folks, big This Is Us talk, massive This Is Us talk. But I want to ask you this because you're a stylish chick and you're repainting your house right now. I'm in the middle of redoing my bedroom. I didn't know that there were so many shades of white to choose from.
Oh, my God. Okay, what you have to do is you get Alabaster White by Sherwin-Williams.
Well, there you go. Because I was going to be like, listen, be prepared this weekend to get a ton of swatches of white sent to your phone.
We hired painters to come in to do our house. And I was like, I want it to be white. Like you want like a creamy white, but not too yellowish. You definitely don't want any pink tones, blue tones. You want to stay away from that. And the guy was like, Alabaster White. And I was like, great. And he was right. Alabaster White is it's a perfect, creamy, neutral white.
I want my room to look like the most sterile, minimalistic thing in the world.
Why?
When I first moved into the place that I'm at now, I decided to go, we got to go bold and bright and big. So we had a cranberry red accent wall with sand pebble walls around it. I ripped up carpets, did brand new wood floors underneath the bottom because I had wood floors because the place that I'm at is like 70 years old. So everything was made with good oak. So I had all those sanded down and then I put brand new wood trim around everything. 17 years later, I'm like, the hell with this. I'm changing it all up. And that's what I'm doing. I'm even putting in new fixtures over the head sconces instead of just lamps.
Oh, let's talk some lighting, bud. That I love. I love getting into some lighting talk.
Now, because your home is almost like 150 years old, are you doing new lighting?
Well, that's kind of the tough thing. And that's where I'm at right now. So it's funny. I have changed out. So I have this beautiful chandelier. It's these colored beads. Got it from Anthropologie. I love this thing. I brought it with me from Vegas. I put it up in our dining room. I love this thing. But then I got like just a very simple six prong, very basic chandelier from Pottery Barn. Put that up in our living room. Love it. But I'm like, okay, am I having too many lights that are going to, I don't want them to all like conflict with each other. So it's trying to find like that easy flow. But so here's the other thing too, is that when we, just the other weekend, one of the guys that used to own this house came by, which was wild. No, I love that he came by. I know you're making a face, but I was actually, at first I was like, I don't know. But it was actually really interesting because he was one of the last guys that was in here. He bought the house in the 80s when it was nobody lived in here. It was like completely abandoned. Homeless people were in the house. Like it was run down, not livable, horrible situation. He bought the house. They were shitting on each other's beds 100%. Anyways, he came in, he was like, yeah, like I was the guy that I've redid everything and blah, 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 blah. But he came in, he was like, what are these lights? Like horrified that I took down his antique lights to put in my new ones. But here's the thing. It's like the whole house is old. You can update things and have like the old with the new. And I like that juxtaposition. I don't need to keep everything super antique-y. The woods are antique. The walls, the banisters, the windows, all of that stuff is like that old, tried, tested, and true, beautiful parts of the house. But like changing out some of the light fixtures and like updating things like that, I think that's the way to go.
It's very Joanna Gaines of you, though, to do like the juxtaposition of modern and then like, you know, the classic.
You have to update it. So we've also been, well, I shouldn't say we, I should say I, because John is very on the fence with this, but I want to redo our kitchen. So I've gone to meet with a kitchen consult. They're coming to the house. So we might be doing like a new kitchen. I would love to do a new kitchen. I need it.
What about your kitchen right now doesn't tickle the pickle?
So it looks fine enough, but The cupboards are just painted. The inside of them are old. They're from the 80s. They're from this dude.
They got to go.
They've got to go. They're too old. They're like, they're, it's literally just like a box shoved in a hole for the drawers and stuff. Like, they're not on the wheels. It just needs to be updated. The sink sucks. It needs to go. So I yeah, they gave me a little, like a nice little blueprint drop of a great kitchen plan. I'm super into it. They did not tell me how much it's going to cost yet. So that's when the other shoe drops, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, a few years ago, we got Ange a new kitchen. Me and Vinny sprung for it.
What did it cost you?
About like 20 G's.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Easy. Yeah,
it cost us about... And she didn't want a dishwasher.
What?
But Ma, why? She was like, I've never had one growing up. They didn't exist. You know who were the dishwashers? She goes, who? She goes, me and your aunts. She goes, I don't need one. All right. Cool. No problem.
I know. I like sprung the idea to John and he just kind of shrugs and ignores me when I mention it. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Listen, I'm not trying to force an issue or force something to happen, but like legit.
No, but this is your forever home, right? And it's like I have this conversation all the time with our friend Ator.
The dude won't even hang a picture.
I tell him that. I go, listen to me. If you ever decide, because you are a single man and you live in this big house and you might want to leave this big house, my advice to you is redo the kitchen, redo the bathroom. So even if you put 50 to 60 grand into the house, you're adding the equity. You're adding more equity into the house. So that way you can flip it and you can make more money.
Exactly. So that was sort of my argument too, where I was like, look, do we need this? No. But would it, like, yes, it would make our house much nicer. Also, like, yeah, if there was a situation where we decided that we were going to sell and move or whatever, people aren't going to want this house with this old ass kitchen in it. Keep in mind, we bought this house off of a FaceTime. We didn't come and see, and like, not that I would have changed anything. I love this house. I love, love, love this house. But when I looked on the pictures on like the listing on the Zillow, I was like, oh, this looks great. And then I got in here. I was like, oh, they're not, it's not new. These cupboards are not new. The kitchen's not new. So yeah, I mean, that's one thing. If someone were to come walk in this house and see that the kitchen is not new, like people would not want to buy that. And I also don't want to like redo it for somebody else to have to enjoy. If we're ever going to do it, I want to do it so that I can enjoy it. And then on the tail end, should somebody else enjoy it as well, then so be it. But I can't imagine wanting to move from this house. Like, I'm obsessed with this house.
How many bedrooms is it?
It's technically 3 bedrooms, which is fine. It's a wonky layout because it used to be a bed and breakfast. So there's like way too many bathrooms. The third floor where I am right now could be a bedroom. The guy that came by said that this used to be his bedroom. Is this really boring content for people to be listening to? I don't know.
No, people like to know. Listen, here's the weird thing that I found out about you and your husband when I started working with you guys and just looking at social media and certain Reddits.
Oh, God.
They want to know everything, dude. It's so strange. Like, so I think people listening to this and seeing that you're the one that wants to make certain homeowner moves over the John, because John don't care.
Well, yeah. He really doesn't care that much. Though, did I ever get him a great score the other day? There's some really great antique markets out here. And I picked up some artwork for the house. That's what I was on the hunt for. Like, we need some artwork now that like the house is like kind of coming together. It's time to splash some cool shit up on the walls. But as I was leaving, they had like this outdoor area and there was like the old Riverfront Stadium here in Cincinnati. And they had a row of the old stadium seats. So I picked up some old stadium seats for him. So we're trying to figure out where to put them. We have like this third floor balcony that like looks out on the city. So they would look really great there. But if we can't get them up the stairs, I guess they'll just go outside. But I've always loved the idea of having stadium seats. There's something very cool about that. Like, especially for him, like being here, he went to like games there and all that. So there's definitely like that cool, like the history attached to it, the emotion attached to that. So I'm excited to see where these seats end up.
I would love old school Yankee Stadium seats from the first stadium. I wish they kept that stadium up, to be perfectly honest with you, because I love the old Yankee Stadium. I thought there was a charm to it. The new one's nice, a little bit more cold and sterile. There's like museum stuff or whatever, but the old Yankee Stadium had a history. I got to look on Steiner Sports and see whether or not they have
old school seats. They've got to be so expensive.
They got to be through the roof. You know what I mean? Like, but I like that. There's like charm. And that's what your house is. Your house is very charming. You have things, you know what I mean, that are indicative to the taste. So that, to me, it's the little somethings that really make a house a home.
100%. And that's the thing too with like getting artwork, where it's like, kid, I was looking at certain things like online. I'm like, oh, this could like be kind of cool. But I ended up finding like these ink drawings of certain parts of town. That is like an old museum. There's the Fountain Square area. So I actually had one of those from Toronto. That's like an old streetcar on like the, an intersection in Toronto. So I got those to match that. But then I also got these really cool, just like floral oil paintings. Very adult.
I want to show you something. And this was gifted years ago. This comes with me wherever I go.
Oh my gosh. I love that. Where did you get that?
A friend of mine got it in Graceland when she went and visited Graceland. So it's an Elvis cookie jar. So for those that are wondering what I'm showing Renee.
Wow, it's a big cookie jar. That's really large.
But I'm not putting cookies in the Elvis cookie jar.
No. But the idea that was the purpose for it, it's very large. It's like almost life size.
Because I made a joke years ago and I was like, you know what I want? I would love one of those Elvis statues that you've seen in Saved by the Bell when they broke Screech's mom's Elvis statue.
Didn't watch that show.
It's a great episode. So, you know, a friend of mine paid attention and listened and found the cookie jar that kind of resembled it. This is from the 68 comeback special.
Wow.
Because of the blacks. I'm a big Elvis mark. Huge.
Who isn't?
Have you been, you mentioned this, you've been listening to Elvis Presley music, but have you been watching Elvis Presley movies?
No, I have not. But oh, that would be like a fun little rabbit hole to go down. Like, so when I'm watching movies, I guess I think about this more than I actually do, like pulling the trigger. But I like picking like a theme with it, where it's like, okay, I want to watch all Audrey Hepburn movies. I like to pick an actor and go down their whole rabbit hole, which I'm about to go on a big Johnny Depp one. I'm going to start with Benny and June, because that's probably one of my favorite Johnny Depp movies. That Crybaby, Edward Scissorhands.
Crybaby's so good.
It's so good. I've not seen it in so long. Yeah, and like Hatchet Face. I got to watch all that. But no, I've not watched any Elvis movies. And I actually don't know if I've ever watched any Elvis movies. Where do I start?
You should probably start with King Creole. It's in black and white. But the plots are always the same, right? He's either a poor kid from the wrong side of town. And in the 60s, it got predominantly worse, where it's like, he's a cowboy, he's an astronaut, he's a soldier, he's a surfer, he's whatever. And then he messes up, gets introduced to the girl, she doesn't want nothing to do with him, and then he sings and she's magically in love.
That silky, smooth, velvety voice.
It's the easiest plot in the world to digest, and the movies did so well that he got so typecasted into doing those where he wanted to do more. But my favorite top five would be Love Me Tender. He plays a cowboy. I won't give anything away. I can tell you all the plot cities. I won't give anything away. Love Me Tender. Clam Bake, which is quintessential 1960s culture, where it's just literally just opulence and sex. It's a great movie.
That sounds beautiful.
It's so good. And then I love King Creole and Kid Galahad. He plays a boxer in Kid Galahad. Very good.
Ooh, okay. So I've actually been on, I'm on like a sports movies kick right now. And what started this was the other day we had on my SiriusXM show, we had Michael Bisping on the show, and he just had a documentary come out about his life called Bisping. It's awesome. I really, really loved it. But it was one of those things I remember our producer was like, oh, you guys got to make sure you check out the documentary before we have him on, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, as you do, and especially in like mom life, I'm like up to my eyeballs and like, what am I doing? What do I have to do? And then it was like in the morning, 7 a.m. and we don't do the show until 2. And I was like, oh, crap, I got to watch this Michael Bisping documentary. Put it on and like, it pumped me up. I love a good sports documentary about, like, you think of the things that guy had to overcome, like coming out of like a bit of a rougher part of Manchester, losing an eye, getting back into fighting, dealing with knockouts, different concussions, things like that. I mean, the guy just has such an interesting story. And there's just something about a Brit that swears a ton that I am just drawn to, that I love. It's so great. But during the documentary, he talks about when he finally was like, I got to retire. This is crazy. And he watched this movie called The Journeyman, which you can't get here. It was like a UK release and you can't find it here because I was trying yesterday to get it to watch it and couldn't. But I ended up watching the Tony Hawk documentary. Have you seen that?
I listened to his podcast with Marc Maron. I have not yet watched it, but if you want to go back and listen to Marc Maron have this really cool interview with him about the doc, you'll get a different perspective. So now it's like leading into it. It's like, I got to watch it. I love Tony Hawk. As a kid, I was really not a skater. I wasn't really into skate culture. I had a bunch of homies that skated.
See, I've always appreciated skate culture. I always thought that it was really cool, but it's just like, I'm not from Southern California. I grew up in hockey culture. That's what I grew up around, hockey culture and anything to do with that, whether it's roller hockey, street hockey, anything hockey related I'm in. But I've always been fascinated by skate culture. I love the style. I love the wardrobe. I love the music. I love that whole vibe. So I have been drawn to it to a degree.
Which is why I kind of wish that I grew up in California so that way I can have a different... First off, I wouldn't have this accent, this charming, charming accent.
Be a bit more of a bro.
But I was like... Yeah, bro. Give me Dickies, bro.
But you know
Let me
what?
Wear the Dickies.
He makes a case for some fucking Dickies. It's funny. I was watching it and it took me back to obviously like the generation is different, but that like Dickies, just like a white tank top, like that super, super simple look. And I remember when Avril Lavigne used to rock that. And I'm like, oh my God, this looks so cool. It's so simple. It's not trying too hard. So like, I don't know. I might go buy some Dickies.
Do you want to do it?
Should we do it?
I'm down to do this.
I'm down to do it too.
You know who used to wear Dickies in his youth? And we had a whole podcast about it. Rocky Romero told me growing up.
I could see Rocky crushing some Dickies.
He was a SoCal kid growing up, California, and he would iron them and starch the hell out of them to keep them real stiff. And whatever, and he would wear the matching shirt and it would be like two sizes too big.
What a look.
So do we want to do Dickies?
Let's go on a deep dive after this. I just got a really great pair of all white Chucks with a platform. I've been loving them. This is my sneaker because it's not like, it's more of my vibe. I can't get, listen, this could be a whole other episode about why I cannot get into other sneakers. But Chuck Taylors, I can do that with like a Dickie with a cute little t-shirt. I'm in.
You know, it's a cool sports movie that I think you should check out. I don't know if you've ever seen it, right? It's called Gladiator. It stars Cuba Gooding Jr. It's in the 90s. I think it's like either 91 or 92. It's a boxing movie. And it stars Brian Dennehy as the main bad guy. But it's like this underground boxing fight club where he uses teenagers and 20-somethings, and it's like this illegal betting ring. It is so good. And there's this plot where it's like this white kid, he befriends Cuba Gooding Jr. They become friends. Some shenanigans happen. Both want out. One wants to become a pro boxer. The other just did it because his father got into some craziness. And then they both have to square off against Brian Dennehy. And how they get there is super interesting. It stars a very young and shredded Cuba Gooding Jr.
What is Cuba Gooding Jr. up to these days? I feel like I've not seen him in anything in a while.
I know he did Snow Dogs a few years ago, that Disney classic that you can watch on Disney Plus. But after you win an Oscar, what else do you need to do?
Okay, let's do like a top five ranking of like sports movies. And this is just off the top of my head. I've not prepared this list. Have you seen Southpaw?
Yes. Yes, I did.
That one's a tearjerker. I remember John and I watching that and it was like, oh my God. Ooh, we've actually not rewatched that because I feel like that one rattled John.
Do you ever watch Moneyball?
That was the one about the athletics, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Moneyball was great.
It's my favorite Brad Pitt movie.
Your favorite Brad Pitt movie? That's bold.
I do like Interview with a Vampire because, I mean, how can you not? But I just like the way he played Billy Bean. Now, I don't know if that's how Billy Bean was in real life. I don't know. full transparency, not really the biggest sports guy. I sit and watch some Yankees baseball and a couple other things, but I'm not going to X's and O's this shit. But I'll sit and watch a good sports movie any damn day of the week.
See, that's where I am too, though, because it, like, as much as I'm not X's and O's, and this is where I always kind of come back to on sports anyways, because, you know, as much as, am I someone that like feels the need to like watch every single game and like really get in on like, you know, that aspect of the sport? Not as much, but it's like, it's the human aspect side of things. I love the idea, and this kind of applies to anything. People being good at things fascinates me, or people not being good at things and still overcoming that and finding a way to get like their love of a game and honing a skill on something or having the odds stacked against them. I mean, those are real life stories of people doing things like that. And it's like that human aspect will always draw me into sports. You know, even with like this show of like having conversations with people, like I don't ever know if it's like boring to people when I'm like, I want to know people's story of like how they got into something, what their obstacles were, how they had to like overcome certain things. Like I've always found that to be so fascinating. So that, yeah, I mean, on sports movies with that, like anytime I watch them, I'm like, I'm going to go to the gym. I can like run an extra mile. Like it pumps me up so much.
If we want to do our top five, right? Me and you will pick them together. What's number five? What are we doing?
So like, I'm just going to like throw some out to you and you tell me where you think they should land, and you can throw some to me too. The wrestler, of course, is fantastic. What a piece of work.
So I was just going to say so good. Such good
work that movie is.
It's art, and Claudio's in it. So that's good.
It's so good. Where's Claudio in it?
He's got like a little cameo when they do the ROH thing.
I know. I remember seeing like, I've seen like Truth in it. I don't remember seeing Claudio in it.
You can see them in the background. Like, he's not really in it. Like, you just see, like, the back of his head. Okay. Like, but he's there.
Yeah. Wrestler, obviously fantastic. God, I mean, when there's, like, football ones, like, they're so...
Rudy could be at number four. What about Brian's Song?
I've not seen Brian's Song.
Well, prepare to get the tears, because James Caan and the very handsome Billy Dee Williams will make you cry.
I love that you like have the cast out. I don't know.
Brian's Song is, it is a classic. I love you, Brian Piccolo. You will cry when you see it. It is very good. Brian's Song is very good.
You know what I'm going to add into this list is I, Tonya.
That's such a good one.
I, Tonya is fucking great. It's like dirty and gritty. I also love Margot Robbie so much. I think she's so great. But yeah, you think of like, because, you know, you think of like sports movies. There's so many of like the old classic ones. You know, you want to talk Major League, Rudy being one of them. You know, Any Given Sunday. God.
That's a good one, too. Jerry Maguire. Varsity Blues is good.
How about Love and Basketball?
I love Omar Epps. How could you not?
I love
so good.
That movie.
White Man Can't Jump.
White Man Can't Jump is one that I would honestly have to like go back to watch again. I've not seen it in such a long time. Oh, you know what I want to add in is Warrior.
Absolutely. Warrior is so good. Let's do one more. Do we want to do, because obviously it's easy. You could say we can either pick Slapshot, we can do Rocky.
I would say Rocky over Slapshot. I love Slapshot, but Rocky makes me feel a certain way. Slapshot's like good and fun and I enjoy the movie.
Well, which Rocky though? I say Rocky 1.
I say Rocky 1 too.
Because to me, that's art. The rest of them become, yes, a superhero film.
Okay. I mean, I can get on board with that, but I think Rocky is, it's so great.
Yeah. And here's an honorable mention just for the kids. If you want to watch these movies with the kids, watch Bend It Like Beckham.
It's, oh, cute. You know what? I've actually never seen that movie. And I know that that one's, God, I have like a whole list up in front of me right now. And my brain is like, shit, there's so many to get into.
There's so many. It's because it's so subjective, because you remember what you like and where you were at a specific time.
Yeah. And there's ones that just like fall in like other categories as well, where it's like, I mean, like Love and Basketball, where it's like, okay, well, it's like, you know, it's still like, it's a romantic drama. There has these other elements. Honestly, I fucking loved King Richard. I thought it was amazing.
Foxcatchers. That's badass too.
Dude, there's so many really good,
just sports films. I don't know if you could do, for us, our top fives would probably be very different, but
Million Dollar Baby.
Oh, what a sad ending to that film too.
I know. Good God. All right. I want to like print off this list. I'm going to, yeah, John and I are about to go watch a bunch.
Start with Brian's Song though. And Gladiator.
I
start
will.
With those two.
I
Cause I would
that.
Love your opinion on those. Yeah, I think you would like those.
Well, hey, we tied things back to sports here on the Volume Podcast Network, where we talk about sports. And sometimes we talk about Johnny Depp and Amber Heard and pooping in beds. It all comes together full circle. I don't know if it's full circle, but it's all in one sweet spot here called the Sessions.
Fight fans, take your best shot with a risk-free bet of up to $1,000 from FanDuel Sportsbook. Even if your fighter gets knocked out or tapped out, new customers get up to $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win. Just sign up using the promo code Renee to bet on all the biggest boxing matches and UFC fights. Get up in there, make some money. You guys can choose from the money line and the method of victory and so much more. FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. The app is so freaking easy to use. And when you win, you get paid real fast. And FanDuel Sportsbook has just launched in Ontario, Canada, my home province. Let's get after it. So to place your first bet risk-free, just sign up with the promo code Renee. That's R-E-N-E-E. Disclaimer, 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Louisiana, Minnesota, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, or Wyoming. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawal site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 for Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat for Connecticut. 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG for Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. 1-877-770-STOP for Louisiana. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY for New York. Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789 in Tennessee and visit www.1800gambler.net for West Virginia or 1-800-522-4700 for Wyoming.
You want to do some quick wrestling? What you're liking, what you're watching?
Things that I am liking right now. I think the Owen Hart Foundation tournament so far has been really great. Who didn't love them some Dax versus Cash? I mean, to see those guys go in and have that singles match was really, really cool. I love the conversations that people are having about that because it can be one of those polarizing things. It's that traditional style of wrestling, whether people love it or they hate it. They want to see the flips. They want to see the jumps. They want to see all those spots. I love that they stuck true to what they wanted to do. And I know Dustin Rhodes was one of the guys that jumped on that. We've got him coming up on the show very soon too. I'm very excited to talk to him. I love me some Dustin Rhodes.
Their whole thing is no flips.
Just fists. That's their thing.
I think that match was great. I like the homages to certain Brett and Owen spots. I thought that was very, very cool. But I love FTR just because they're my favorite type of wrestlers.
They're artists. They're beautiful artists is what they are.
I'm a bump and feed brother, so give me all that. one of the things that I like right now is that the Good Brothers returned to New Japan.
Yes. Oh my God. How about the Bullet Club stuff? Just lighting a fire. People were losing their minds.
They returned to Fukuoka and they did Dantaku, which is one of New Japan's big events. And during Evil versus Tamatanga after the end of the match, Carl Anderson and the Big LG come in and they cause all this wreck. And now they're back and Carl is challenging Tama for the Never Open Weight Championship the 12th of June at Dominion.
I love that. I'm really looking forward to this Forbidden Door pay-per-view as well that's happening between AEW and New Japan. I think that's going to be real, real nice and real, real cool.
I think I need to be there.
I'll probably be there as well. So let's go and we can hang out and have a time. Let's go and have a little hang and do a thing. What else am I liking right now? How about the TNT Championship switching hands again, going back to Scorpio Sky?
What a way to really do the traditional double turn and have now Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page as baby faces and Ty Conti and Sammy Guevara as your heels. Isn't it crazy that a person's relationship is the thing that causes them to boo the person? Isn't that strange?
Yes and no. It's like you see both of them out there. You see Tay and Sammy. They're kissing, they're making out, they're all over each other's social media. I love you more and blah, 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 blah. And it's like so over the top. And as much as, you know, some people want to like celebrate things like that, it's also like, okay, can we just shut it down a little bit? Let's tone it down a notch. But I mean, damn, Sammy Guevara, as a professional wrestler, that dude just, he's amazing. He's really fun to watch. And in a ladder match, like, holy shit, they really, like, they leave no stone unturned when they go out there. And I mean, ladder matches, they really do scare me. Anytime that we would do TLC with WWE and, like, calling those matches, watching those matches, I would always sit next to Booker T when we were doing the kickoff panels so that I could just, like, gauge from him if everyone was okay. And there's certain spots, you know, hurt. But then there's other things that, you know, I don't take bumps. I don't always know what hurts. So I would, like, always watch Booker T and, like, get his reaction to what was happening. But yeah, ladder matches always freak me out. They are just there. It's that unknown element. And I always think of that Joey Mercury moment of him getting the ladder in the face and, like, his face just exploded. That's horrifying.
You would always know when Booker loved the spot because he would yell out Shucky Ducky Quack Quack.
Yeah. I love it. I always love working with Booker. He's funny. Oh, Book. What else is happening? What are we missing? I before we jumped on here, you were really putting over Impact. You are really in Impact right now. Speaking of that, I just want to give, like, a quick nod to, also you guys can go back and listen to the episode with W. Morrissey, because it seems he's going to be on Dynamite.
Perfect timing. Perfect Let's timing go. For the session.
Let's go. Who Come could have on, planned that out, you know? Right?
I think Impact is probably one of the best produced wrestling shows that nobody watches.
Can we talk about the X Division match on their last pay-per-view that they just had? Because it fucking blew my mind. To be completely honest, I don't watch everything all the time. So it's like, do I catch it? John and I were at home. I was like, you know what? This is on. Let's watch it. And we turned it on as the X Division match was going on. And it was just like, holy shit. I don't know what it was, if it was like, if you would call it kind of a moonsault from the second rope out of the ring. What? That blew my mind.
I've always loved their X Division professional wrestling. So you're not getting, it's even when Joe was wrestling in the X Division is not specifically, maybe it is now tailored to cruiserweights of the traditional sense. But what you're getting is some really crazy moves that are well put together. Now, some people might not like Spotty McSpot Spots, but if you're into high flying, then you're going to love Trey Miguel versus Mike Bailey and Ace Austin. It's one of the matches that I think you should go back and you should watch. Trey Miguel has completely transformed himself as a professional wrestler. Once MSK went to NXT, he really became and focused on becoming a singles competitor and really came into his own as a singles competitor. And guys like him, Chris Bay, Ace Austin, Mike Bailey, really shaped that X Division. And you have some really unique matches and some really dope pieces where you can plug in and have some really cool stuff. I think Tasha Steelz is a great women's champion.
Also, great promo.
Fantastic promo.
I was watching her and I was like, man, she's just confident. She's sharp. I really enjoy her promos a lot.
She rolls the okay. She does it very good. I can't do it. Like, she knows how to do it. Okay. Yeah. I think she's fantastic. She's also a great worker.
I became a fan of hers as well. I've not watched too much of it, but when I caught her promo, I was like, oh, she's got something pretty cool there.
And my favorite match of that entire Rebellion card, and you might call me crazy if you're listening to this, but I love Deonna Purrazzo and Taya Valkyrie. I think Deonna Purrazzo, she is pound for pound one of the best women's professional wrestlers that do not get the flowers that she deserves. So you should go back and you should watch that because she wins things with submissions. Okay, now Renee, you know, when does a submission pop off and you think, oh my God, that's a great match? Because most of the time you want to see them hit the big finish and it's a pinfall. The fact that she does it with a submission, really cool shit to me.
I don't know. I mean, Ronda has her submission. Becky uses a submission. Asuka's back. Asuka's big in submissions as well. I'm a huge Asuka fan. I love that she's back as well. Like, thank God. You know what? I really didn't intend on this just to become like a women's wrestling moment, but yeah, I do. I love that. I love that Asuka's back. I think Deonna, I agree with you. I do think that she deserves far more credit than she gets. But it's, you know, she's doing her thing. I mean, she does make the rounds. She's booked and busy. That's for damn sure. You know who else I've been liking in AEW is Marina Shafir. I'm a fan of hers as well.
I thought she and Jade had a great match.
Yeah, me too. I like her on Bloodsport as well.
It's very difficult to make that style look really appealing in professional wrestling, because if you watch judo competitions or any type of jujitsu competitions, yeah, it's great and it's for that specific lane. But to do it into a professional wrestling ring, or lack thereof in case of blood sports, so good. Another great match was John versus Biff Busick.
I really enjoyed that too, and I wasn't really sure. I mean, they've never worked together before. I love Biff. I think he's awesome. But yeah, I actually really enjoyed that too. I like John with that regal knee as well. I'm a big fan of that. I love a flying knee. I've always been a fan of it. Love a good flying knee.
You're a big fan of BCC.
Dude. I died. So my like nerd ass, when I was like, why is everyone freaking out when I tweeted this? And I was like, oh, okay, got it. Yeah, I did not know what BBC meant. The best was I explained it to John's mom. So I was like laughing over it. I was in tears. I thought it was so funny. So funny. All right. Well, listen, I've got to hop off because I have to interview Mickey James for my XM show.
That's a nice flex. All right. Let's wrap this up here, kids. For more information on Renee Paquette, go to Twitter and Instagram at Renee Paquette. For more information on me, Twitter and Instagram at Emilio Sparks, EmilioSparks. Download this podcast wherever you get them. You can also write nice things and you can review nice things on Spotify and iTunes.
Do that. Hit us with a review.
Go to the YouTube channel. Subscribe there. You watch this stuff. You want to see my face and my shacket, you can do that. You can go and check that out. I found this in my closet. Who knew that I had one?
I'm a fan. Guys, you're only listening to this. Maybe you're watching this after, but if you're only listening to this, you want to watch it because you want to see Amelia with his jacket. I also have a very crisp new camera up, and I should have put on some powder before I started doing this, but hey, we're all just living our lives.
You look good. You look good. Big shout outs to Lucha Libre Taco Trucker Hats.
Big shout out to the Toronto Blue Jays.
And we'll see you next time right here on The Sessions.
Later, skaters. Oh, let's go get our tiki pants.